You know, in Acts accounts, there was a time where there was an argument that rose between the Grecians and the Hellenites in Acts chapter 6, where, let me confirm that. I want to show you something very important. Yeah, so Acts chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to read, you know. Yes, so, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians and the Hebrews. So the New Testament, New King James says, against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable, right? It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from amongst you 7 men of good reports, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So there was a fight, and then the disciples realized that no, we are not supposed to be involved in serving tables. You know, serving tables was more or less like a natural ability, like a natural thing anybody else could do, right? So they chose and appointed 7 men who have good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Then in verse 4, this is the reason why they had to choose these 7 men who are full of the Holy Spirit, you know, wisdom, and then they were of good reputation. They had good reports. KJV says, good reports. So they had good reports. Then listen to what they said, the apostles said. These are foundational apostles. They said, but we, right, will give ourselves continually. We'll give ourselves what? Continually. To prayer. Do you see that? Yes. You can't do it without prayer and fasting. And I can prove it to you that they were just not praying. They were praying and fasting. Let me show you something in Acts 13. But let's finish with Acts 6. So, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So it means the apostles were given to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, pay attention to Acts 6 verse 1 again. The number of disciples was multiplying. Do you see that? The number of disciples was multiplying. The number of disciples was multiplying. It means that what it means actually is that they were fasting, praying, and giving themselves to the ministry of the word. That multiplication should not be the reason why they should not fast, pray, and give themselves to the ministry of the word. So they will then appoint other people. But it does not mean they were not praying and giving themselves the ministry of the word and then the disciples were multiplying. No, disciples were actually multiplying because they were praying and they had given themselves to the ministry of the word and they fasted. Let me show you that they actually fasted. It was a natural thing. In Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. Now in the church, there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. God is making you a prophet and a teacher in Jesus' name. A prophet and a teacher. So I showed you prophet and teacher. It's like having rice and beans. Rice and stew. They go together. What do you call it? fufu and light soup. That's like prophet and teacher. So in Acts 13, someone is saying yam and pepper. This combination is very bad. Yam and pepper. Anyway, so prophets and teachers. Yes. And God has made me a prophet and a teacher. Yes, I've seen it in His word. That's the first time I saw that. I've been asking God, God, is it just prophet? Is it just teacher? No, prophet and teachers. It's prophet and teacher. I'm pastor because I pastor you, but I'm not really, I'm prophet and teacher. So God, right, sets men like this in His church. His church. I can have a whole camp meeting on prophets and teachers. Yes. So in the church, there was an Antioch setting who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. You see, I don't like to say this, but we're looking at prophets and teachers. Let's continue. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and did what? And fasted. Oh, I didn't intend to teach on fasting and prayer today. So as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Ghost said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It was when they had fasted and prayed. That prayer is actually a prayer of ministering unto the Lord. So when they had fasted and prayed, now the Holy Ghost now said, why wasn't the Holy Ghost saying what when they were eating and enjoying themselves? But it's when they had separated themselves out to fast and to pray, the Holy Ghost said. That's why I prayed for you this evening, that God's voice is going to become clearer. Not because He is not speaking clear, but it's because there are things in the flesh that prevent you from hearing Him in that clarity. So as we give ourselves to fasting and prayer, things are going to become clear. Yes, things are going to become clear. So as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost says something when we minister and we fast and we pray. You will hear God's voice clearly talking to you. You say, walk here, do this, be here, don't do that, make this decision. So as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they fasted. They didn't just minister and say, no, God has relieved us of fasting. They ministered to the Lord and they fasted. Now, what happens in verse 2 is that via their fasting and prayer, the Holy Ghost is commissioning out ministries in their fasting and prayer. And probably that will be the most important ministry that the New Testament will ever see. That's Paul. So it was when they fasted and they prayed, there was the commissioning of Barnabas and Saul for the work of a ministry to which I have called them. Then, verse 3, having fasted and prayed, so they fasted and prayed, they had the Spirit of God ministering to them, they continued in fasting and prayer, and then they laid hands on them and sent them away. Now look at what happens in verse 4. It's almost as though, you know, all of these prophets and teachers sending them away will be as though they were the ones that did it. Like a natural man that decides to say, you know, just let's, but they are not the ones. The Spirit of God is the one commissioning men into ministry because men have decided to and to pray. Verse 4. Let's see what happens. So sent out by the Holy Spirit. Lucia. And being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 says, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Timon, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen. So you see, the Holy Spirit will have a free course as we fast, as we pray, and as we minister to the Lord. And He is commissioning, reinstating, sending out, people into their ministries in the name of Jesus. So verse 4 says, so they being sent out by the Holy Spirit. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit. But it was men that actually sent them. It was, you know, Manaen, Lucius of Cyrene and all. They were the people that actually said, hey, you people should go. But in verse 4, they're saying that the Holy Spirit sends them out. So take it very, very, very seriously. Right? So in Acts chapter 6, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. These are reputations of men who the Lord counts. These are men whom the Lord counts very importantly in what he wants to do. Acts chapter 6, verses 1-4. But then we'll have some emphasis on verse 4. So in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, 7 men of honest report. And I'm going to come back there maybe some time to come. I'm going to come there in some time to come. There's 3, but our emphasis actually is verse 4. So he says, look ye among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we, the apostles, they say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. You know, these were apostles. I mean, these actually were the foundational apostles. The foundational apostles were, you know, the apostles that had clear emphasis of laying out the structure, or let me say the apostles who had seen Jesus, right? So these were, you know, the men that actually Jesus called as his disciples, right? And then he sent them. That's why they are called his, they are called apostles, because they were sent. They were commissioned for a work with Judas losing his place. And then Matthias taking over his bishopric. But they were foundational in the sense that they saw Jesus. And oftentimes it's upon, you know, the work of the foundational apostles that the pattern of the church was formed and found. That was formed and seated and standing on Christ. However, these men actually, you know, via the Holy Spirit, drawed out and laid out the pattern for us as a church. Can everyone hear me? Can I be heard? I feel like I'm the only person here. Oh, you are listening. Okay, you are following. Because the way the place was quiet, I was wondering whether I was the only one here or there was someone here with me. So, these were people who played key roles. And we can tell from the story that when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmur, against the Hebrews, the Grecians against the Hebrews, because, their widows were neglected in the serving, and so there was a fight. And the apostle said, no, you know what? We can't involve ourselves in trying to determine who serves and who handles certain businesses for us as an early church. So they said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to separate 7 men. And he calls them of honest reports. It means everybody knows that they are good. You know what a report card is? Yeah. So English, A. Biology, B. A report card. An attested fact of who they are. So this, we're going to give this opportunity for people to handle the savings, the money, the businesses that we have as a church. And then we will appoint other people to handle all of those things. And says, we will choose 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So you see that the apostles were very careful to know that even running businesses in the church is still not finding yourself doing primarily what you should do in the furtherance of the cause of the gospel. I'll say this again. Even getting yourself involved in many activities in the church is not proof of the fact that you are doing primarily what you ought to do. There's something that you ought to primarily do. Every believer ought to primarily do. Right? Someone says, oh, I'm always in church. Why are you always in church? Because I sell sweets at the market, the church's market. So that's why I always have to be in church. And when I'm in church, sometimes I hear the word of God. We're not talking about something you should do sometimes. We're talking of something that you should be doing, you should be consciously doing. You are there, right? Then he says, but I will give myself continually to prayer. So you see, he's not talking about media organizer usher ministry of the car park. He's not talking about that. He's saying that, look, let's find other people who are also as well full of the Holy Ghost, and let us hand to them these businesses. Church financier, logistics, bus management committee. No, he's not talking about that. He says, we will give ourselves continually. Now, as vital as those things are, we must all strive that we be found having this passionate desire that the apostles had. No wonder the church actually grew so much in Acts accounts. You know, when people gather at a room that's called the upper room, and they say, we're going to be here, we don't know how long, but we're going to be here. You know how long they tarried? They tarried for 10 days. Now, if Jesus gave a promise of the fact that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh in Joel's accounts, I'm sure they had read it in the scriptures, the Old Testament. And how that, sons and daughters are going to prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. How that miraculous things were going to happen. And it took a function of 10 days to have the manifestation of this prophecy. You would think that it should have just happened immediately. You know, he showed himself to them in infallible proof for 40 days. Then they tarried in the upper room for 10 days. And then on the 50th day, there was the Pentecost. So it was at that ceremony where we had the Holy Ghost fall. The Holy Ghost was given. And Bible says they were filled with power. And they were given the ability to witness for the Lord. Now, 10 days is quite something to think about. You see, it gives me, you know, a mind of how rigorous the old church was. 10 days. Do you know 10 days? 10 days of, listen, we are talking about 10 days of continuous prayer, such that on the 10th day, that is when they actually get the breakthrough of what they had been anticipating and expecting. 10 days. Day one, they were there. They were not superhuman beings. They also urinated like you, felt hungry like you. They were not superhuman beings. Don't say they were like you, you and I, the same. They will eat like you, they will sleep like you. And they were just not, you know, men. I believe there were women there. Yes, they were there. I'm sure Mary Magdalene was there. I'm sure she was there. So, they tarried. It means they stayed prolonged over a period of time for 10 days. Today, certain believers cannot even fast and pray for 1 day. 1 day, you kill them. They just want to say, you know, the church today doesn't have to be very, has to be structured. You know, and we have things to do, and we are very busy people. And even when you come to church, I think the church should last for 45 minutes. That's a serious problem, you know. That's a very serious problem. Day one, day two, day three, day four. They are still inside. Day five. Manto, Shege, Kista, Prosta, Kila Mande. Day six. 1 week. Hey, this Holy Ghost, when is he coming? This Holy Ghost. When is he coming? I can imagine Peter being, you know, the leader, telling them that, you know what, let's just believe Jesus. Let's tarry, as he said. Day eight. Some are saying, you know what, Labasha, they are weary. They are tired. They are worn out. Their mouths are looking dry. They are looking pale. Yet still, this is going to be the reason why the church will thrive for many, 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 many centuries. In fact, the prevalence of the church was situated in Acts chapter 2. It's seated right in there. They're asking Jesus some questions, and he's telling them that, you know, I wish I could tell you, but you know, you will not understand what I'm trying to tell you. So I will send forth another spirit. And when I send that spirit, he's going to teach you, give you understanding, give you wisdom, give you insight into the things that I am talking about. Day 10. Gathered in the upper room. You think the upper room experience was just 3 days? No, it was 10 days, a function of 10 days of staying. Function of 10 days. Today, if I said 10 days prayer, they'll say that, pastor does not want people to go to work and to go to school. So he's fooling. Somebody should call that guy and speak to him to get sense. You see, that's why there are a lot of things happening. Then the Holy Ghost fell as a function of prayer. So the apostles knew that there was something tied to continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. It's because we're a generation that likes things fast. We don't know how to prevail in prayer. It's like the moment we just speak in faith, it's like, I declare in the name of Jesus, let that door be open. The moment we go and realize the thing has not happened, we just say, okay, then God does not want to do it. While in fact some things will take statements of faith, some other things will take continuing in prayer. You see, if you're called to the ministry, I want to say this before you leave this place, is that you're going to learn during this period of 21 days to give yourself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Continually to prayer. While you're in your class, the break you have, get somewhere secluded, speak in tongues. You go to the bathroom, you're there for 10 minutes. Take the opportunity to speak in tongues. You're working around. You're not too busy. Take yourself to speak in tongues. Continually to prayer. The apostles understood this. We're not supposed to meddle in so many businesses and affairs. We're supposed to be giving continually to prayer. I see you giving yourself continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. Not just a one time, 2 day, 3 day event. Continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. Where are your continuous prayers? Ask yourself, when was the last time I gave myself to continuous, unstoppable, flowing through and through kind of prayer? See, that's been long. But like the apostles, you will have to separate yourself from other things, other businesses, distractions of the day, and give yourself continual prayer. In this 21 days of just praying, continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. Continuous prayer. Holidays. Leave sessions. You see, from today, let me say this. Everybody, every worker here, your 30 days of leave, don't just see it as for you alone. At least, allocate. I want to tell you something. Allocate at least 5 days in your 30 days of your leave. To say that these 5 days are going to be days where I pray. I'm not going to the market when I take my leave. I'm not going to sleep. I'm taking my leave off for prayer. Off for a time where I'll give myself continually to prayer. And you hang on in there. You stock. You store. You lock yourself 24 hours. 48 hours, 72 hours. You're inside there. You're praying. You're giving yourself continual to prayer. Continually praying. Give yourself continually to prayer. And when we do, so mightily will grow the word of God and prevail in our land. so mightily the word of God will prevail. So mightily God's word will prevail in our hearts. And if the word of God is prevailing, oh, miracles are prevailing. Angelic interceptions are prevailing. Ministry will thrive and increase, and more discipleships will go on. And we will be able to stand very firm in the times and in the seasons that we have. Now, as the disciples gave themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, something significant happened. But I want you to just look at verse 7. Verse 7 of the same chapter before we leave. Verse 7. Verse 7. And the word of God increased. The word of God increased. You know, the word of God increasing will mean this. Faith increases. I'm trying to link this to our individual lives. Then we can look at it on a larger scale. Faith will increase. Because the word of God increasing will cause faith to increase. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. In these 21 days of prayings and fastings and seeking the Lord and keeping our flesh put, keeping our flesh in check, the word of God is increasing. The word of God is increasing. First in our hearts, and it's increasing in every space where we find ourselves. In the name of Jesus, I see the word of God increasing your life. I see many becoming obedient to the faith as you give yourself to prayer. I see things that the flesh, you know, is excited about suddenly becoming tamed. Tamed in the name of Jesus. Locatiousness jumps out of the door. A lot of useless thinking, your mind put in its rightful place, in check. Oh, things that you were supposed to do will come to you again in the name of Jesus. God is bringing to your remembrance things that you should take serious in the ministry. Continually to prayer. I see ejections of poisons out of your mind, like worry and anxiety and fear, in the name of Jesus. Receive grace in the spirit to be able to fulfill all that God will have you fulfill in Jesus' name. As we give ourselves to prayer, there will be abundance of visions. Visions. Abundance of visions. And revelations as well. The Holy Spirit's voice and His promptings will be clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. My God. The strengthenings in your body, strengthenings in your spirit man, as you give yourself continually to prayer. You know, dullness of perceptions, of thoughts, spiritual sensitivities and sensitizations, they are coming alive in Jesus' name.
You'll be quick to see. You'll be quick to know. You'll be quick to hear. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in this period of prayer, there'll be ambience of God's holy presence, my God, around you. This calm, serenity, peace. Demons will check out in your environment. I said demons will check out in your environment. They will quake at your presence. And lastly, the sting of unbelief. Bible says that this kind goeth not by fasting and prayer. Look at that. We are fasting. I'm going to take time just expounding on this and expounding on that. But these kinds, you know, that this kind that he was dealing with unbelief. There are some certain states of unbelief. They don't go except by fasting and prayer. Yeah. Some people don't know why I have very strong faith to see miracles and things happening. I'll tell you what it is today. It's a function of many fastings and prayers. Yes, that's how unbelief goes. When you give yourself to it, you will see sicknesses. And it will not be so obvious to you that it can go. You don't know how it functions. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you see that something that somebody sees and says is very impossible. You look at it and you say, but this is very possible. That kind of unbelief of seeing miracles happen, it does not go from your heart. Not the demon. The demon, God has given you authority to cast it out. But to cast it out, that unbelief, it does not go except by fasting and prayer. Yeah. How is it that somebody tells me, you know, I have a headache? And I slap the person's head very hard and very strong. And I said, you're healed. You're healed. And the person is truly healed. But it can't, that kind of, you can't think about it. Why should you slap the person's head? Why should you slap his head? When he tells you that he has a headache. I mean, you should be comforting. I'm telling you that it will be fine. This kind of unbelief, it cannot be dealt with except by fasting and by prayer. As you give yourself to fastings and prayer, great things are going to be happening in your life. There's a spirit of faith that's going to be conditioned around you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But there's an atmosphere faith sits on. Yeah. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude, happened to be the foundational 12, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out amongst you seven men full of the Holy Ghost, or full of honest reports, or of honest reports full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint about this business. I said we would, you know, look at this separately. But our emphasis is going to be verse 4. But we will give ourselves
continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, 18, and 19. Yes. Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. You know, the same thoughts the apostles had as to giving themselves continually to prayer is the same instruction that Paul is giving to the church in Thessalonica. So, you know, in as much as we try to lay emphasis on the fact that the apostles said they will give themselves continually to prayer, we are also saying that the believer ought to give himself or herself to continuous prayer. It ought to be continuous. That's why Paul is writing to every believer. You know, oftentimes the epistles or Paul's writings, So whenever you hear someone say epistles, the person means the writings of Paul. All right. So the epistles, which are actually Paul's writings, written to the church. You know, oftentimes Paul wrote out letters, and what happened is that the epistles actually were to be read before the people. So they were to be read congregationally. So let's say whenever 1 Corinthians is picked up, you know, believers gather. Let's say they gather on a Wednesday or they gather on a Thursday, on a Friday. Then it's read out to the people. So there was just one copy of the epistles, oftentimes given to the head of the church. Right? So it's to be read to everybody. So when they take Corinthians, you know, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, you know, the first and second there does not mean that maybe one is to be prioritized than the other. No, it just means it was written first, right? So 1 Corinthians was written first, right? 1 Timothy was Paul's first letter to Timothy. So 2 Timothy is Paul's second letter to Timothy. Do you see that? So 1 Thessalonians, right? Yes, was Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. So they pick out the epistles and then they read it congregationally. So it's read. Everybody can hear it. Now, this is the instruction Paul is telling the church in Thessalonica. He says, pray without ceasing. You know, oftentimes, while it's important, I would just like to touch on continuing in the place of prayer or having that mindset of keeping up with it consistently. So, you see that people say, have you prayed today? And then they're like, no, I've not prayed today. Well, you know, on a different sort of side, that could be true. But you see, there's a time where you have a consecrated time where you pray. Maybe let's say at 2 p.m. you are in prayer, or at 10 p.m. you are in prayer, or at 12 a.m. you are in prayer, or at 1 p.m. you are in prayer, right? Then there's also another time where you are praying without ceasing. It means in the bus, on your way to school, on your way for lectures, you know, those kinds of prayer are the types of prayer where we say that it's without ceasing. It's continuous in its stead, right? It's continuous in its stead. Now, there could also be an unceasing sort of consecrated time to prayer where maybe every 12 a.m. you keep it going,
every 12 a.m. you keep it going. But actually, I can tell you for free, learning to stay prayed up throughout all the periods is very essential. So the apostles did not want to get themselves meddling in affairs of serving tables. You know, before you realize, you know, someone is saying, I'm striving with Apostle Peter. You know why? I think Peter has been wicked to me for 2 days now. He gives everybody 4 ladders. As for me, he gives me 3.5. He doesn't really, you know, scoop the 4th one very well. You know, so there was not supposed to be meddling in those affairs. You know how people can get petty. You know, for those of you who went to senior high schools, you know, and then you are giving the ladder, you know, the almighty ladder. It's like you are, I don't know, if you're senior high school, there were ladders there. But there's a time where someone is giving a ladder. Where were you? Your senior high schools, did you have ladders? Okay. Because some of you didn't go to, how do you call it? Boarding schools. So, you know, so when you have the ladder and you hit the ladder like a ping, 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 it means that there's trouble. Right? You see the form ones, they are broken hearted because it never goes well for them. Right? So imagine Peter, you know, standing in that place and then he's giving everybody 4 scoops, but you gave you 3 scoops. So they're saying, nope, we're not going to meddle in these affairs. Right? We're apostles. We're sent people. But what are we going to do? We are going to give ourselves continually to prayer. Now, there is the ministry of the word, which I probably will take time to explain. But I want us to zero in down on prayer. So, make this a habit. Learn to pray throughout the day. It's not a crime to have your lips moving. It's not a crime at all to have your lips moving when you go out through your activities every now and then. It actually shows that you're a very spiritual person. Kenneth Hagin, I never got to see him, but, you know, sometimes you could for prayer, it's actually a sign that you are full of the Spirit. So, you know, you call it not seen as spiritual. It's like, I don't want anybody to see that I'm spiritual. So let me just I will not do that. When you say that, you don't keep up that prayer continually, right? So you're going to learn in this period. I'm saying this because not everybody has that in quote time to give themselves consecrated to 1 hour, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever number of hours you pray. Not everybody has that luxury of it, but I want to encourage you, make up time for it, number one. And number two, make sure you stay continually prayed up. Right? So, I want us to practice this during the fast. Pray all the time. Are you listening? Pray all the time. Pray under your breath. Pray having your lips moving. While you're in the bus, you're praying. While you're walking, you're praying. While you're in your bed, you're praying. While you're moving about doing something, you're praying. And you know, sometimes they could ask you, why is it that you talk to yourself? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, how he speaks to God. I'm not talking to myself, I'm speaking to God. And yes, sometimes I could be speaking to myself because that's also meditation. So, you're going to learn to keep it locked on in prayer. Right? Learn to keep it locked on in prayer. Make sure you have it flowing throughout the day. In your toilet seats. Do that. Some of you should start practicing praying everywhere. The bathroom. In fact, let me tell you that toilet seats are very good for reading also. So if you come to my toilet, I have books there. Yes. Because you could stay reading throughout. So when you go to my, there's always a book to read on my WC. There's a book to read there. And I know that book, I read it only when I go there. I'm teaching you how to be very consistent. Yes. Teaching you how to be consistent. So you're going to pray everywhere. Everywhere. So you're going to pray continually. Now, I'm not the one saying it. The apostles are saying it. The apostles are saying. Now, let's not meddle ourselves too much in so many affairs. But rather, right, what are we going to do? We are going to give ourselves continually to prayer. Continually, not halfly, not for 1 week, not for only 21 days where we are praying. If not, they would have told us that, you know what, for 21 days let's give ourselves prayer. No, he's saying continually we are going to give ourselves to prayer. We're going to pray. Every time we're going to pray. Sometimes they might even start accusing you of being not okay. So this lady is really mad, you know. You know, when she walks, she's just talking. And nobody knows what she's saying. But she's just talking. No, you tell them I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Now watch what happens in verse 7. What happens in verse 7 when they gave themselves continually to prayer on behalf of the apostles? The word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's what happens when we have people giving themselves continually to prayer. There's an increase of the word of God. Number of disciples begin to multiply. And people who were resistant to the faith start to become obedient to the faith. People who once resisted the things that you preach to them, they almost start to hear you right now as you preach to them, as you talk to them. They'll say, can we hear you again on this matter? So, in this time, now I'm telling you something that I do. It's not something that I'm telling you to do. It's something that I do. I'm almost literally always praying everywhere, anywhere. Yeah, you might not see me, but I just keep it locked on. Sometimes you see my lips move a few times, but here and there. Now there are times where sometimes I'm not praying. Don't say that I said that every time. But what I'm trying to say is that I keep it locked on. Right? I keep it locked on. It's continuous. I'm telling you, it's continuous. So you're going to learn also to keep at it continually. Who's going to learn to pray always? Always. Always. See, were you talking to me? No, I wasn't talking to you. I was just praying. When I used to work in the pharmacy, I used to have pieces of scriptures in my pocket written on paper. Yeah. So when the place is not busy, I just flip it out and I just look at it for 2 minutes or 1 minute and I put it back. That's continue. We'll give ourselves continually. You see, some people think that to actually stay spiritual, it comes by osmosis. No, it doesn't. In a falling world, the world is falling. You're living in a broken world, and because the world is broken, right? Because the world is broken, it's easy for you. And emptiness and foolishness and vanity and lukewarmness or coldness, if I'll say. So it's the conscious decision. Yeah, you have to be very conscious about it. If not, you just end up saying that, hey, this Christianity thing, it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know. That's what you end up saying. Do you know that it's very easy to stay not praying than it is to pray? Yes, it's very easy not to pray. Then not to pray is more easier. But when you say you are going to pray, there is resistance. So something should tell you that no, the world in itself is not in its right place. And just so you know, the devil is the god of this world. It's not God. God is not the god of this world. So if you are thinking that whatever will happen, God, whatever God will do. No, he's not the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Sure, let me show you. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Is it 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 4:4? In whom the god of this world had blinded their eyes. Somebody should drop that scripture for me. Yes, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the god of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So there's the god of this world. Paul recognizes it and he tells the church in Corinth, see, there is somebody that rules in this world. Now, he does not rule among believers. Our God is God over us, but he is not God over them who do not believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, our God is God over us. Everything that God does, he does it through us and by us. He's God over us. He's not God over the world. The world, the devil is God over them. That's why he can push things and, you know, hit certain buttons and it turns out in his favor. So it's only when Christians stand in that place of prayer continually that they are now able to have God's will enforced on the earth via their prayer.
So you're going to give yourself continually to prayer in Jesus' name. And that spirit of prayer and supplication is going to rest on you. And you will be continuous in the place of prayer. Continuous in the place of prayer. You will have consecrated times of prayer. You will also stay continuous in that place of prayer. You see, when I'm praying at 1, I'm praying at 10, I'm praying at 8, I'm praying at 9, you keep those times or those watches you set for yourself. But aside those watches you set for yourself, or aside those watches you put for yourself, you are going to stay continually in that place of prayer. Continually. On your break time sessions. Continually. Yes. While you're taking a stroll. Continually. You're walking down the road. Continually. You're even going on an Easter retreat, Easter celebration or something. Continually. You're at the beach. Continually. At a party. Continually. Everywhere is everywhere good for prayer. Are you listening? Yes. So from this day, tomorrow, from now. Okay, let me give you time. From tomorrow when you wake up, you say, I've learned to pray everywhere, anytime. My lips moving anytime, everywhere, in the bus, on the trotro, in the taxi, in the Uber, everywhere is everywhere good for prayer. So you're going to stay prayed up. Let me tell you something. If you're able to do this, you realize you will not be totally disconnected from God and hearing Him clearly, even in your secular activities or the things that you find your hands on. Now in Jesus' name, I pray for you that the spirit of prayer and supplication is going to rest on you. The spirit of prayer and supplication. The spirit of prayer and supplication. The spirit of prayer and supplication. One time my mother said, remember exactly how she, but she was very shocked that I was praying. Yeah, it looked very strange to her. Yeah. She didn't really understand. Yeah. I see you becoming a strange person by the Holy Ghost. A strange person by the Holy Ghost. A strange person by the Holy Ghost. And you'll be walking in the hall and you'll be praying. You'll say, hey, what's wrong with this person? Hey, isn't this spiritual? Hey. This boy is very spiritual. Now, we're not doing it so they know we are spiritual. But we actually are spiritual. Yeah? Yes. We actually are spiritual. And so, in Jesus' name, receive the grace to supplicate and to pray continually all the time, through and through, all the time. Through and through, all the time, through and through, all the time, through and through, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of prayer, it's the spirit of prayer. What you see, when it rests upon you, you will find yourself praying, in the bath, praying, everywhere, praying. It's the spirit of prayer and supplication. I see that spirit of prayer and supplication through and through. It's on you, mighty and strong. Everywhere. I'm telling you, everywhere. Everywhere. You see, when that spirit of prayer, that grace for prayer and supplication, when it rests upon you, sometimes you enter into places and you see people say, hey, we are leaving. We are leaving. Say, oh, I just came in to do that. No, we are leaving. We have to leave. You see, there is
there's an ambience. Yes, there's an ambience around you that causes evil not to thrive. Like wherever you go, they will say, no, we are getting down. We're getting down from the car. So, oh, we are up the number. I say, no, you go. We are already getting down. Say, oh, but we are four. The car is four. Say, no, I'll pick another car. That spirit of prayer and supplication in the name of Jesus is on you. It's on you. You know, you'll be talking to your friends, be talking about the normal casual conversation. Before you realize, you just say, Kalaba, Shote, Fever, Keeper, Post. And they say, hey, what are you saying? You say, oh, I just switched all of a sudden, but I'm here with you again. And then you'll be talking. You say, Moshta, Kiba, Tushte. And you say, hey, what's happening to you? Some of you, as you sleep, it's going to intertwine itself in your sleep. Like, you'll be sleeping, and someone will say, ah, it's like when you are sleeping, you are praying in tongues. We heard you. It's like you were turning, and you said, Rabba, Shatala, Rabba. And you were turning again, and you said, Kabbalah, Shatala. There's a spirit of prayer and supplication in the name of Jesus everywhere. Anybody that's listening to me right now is resting on you. Is resting on you. In your sleep, it will show up itself and then, you know, disappear again in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this evening. And we say that we're giving ourselves host of parties to continuous prayer. You know, continuous. Continue. While we are cooking, cutting the meat, cutting the okra, you see that everywhere. See, if you're able to continue this lifestyle for even 5 years, I'm telling you, the kind of things that will start happening around you, you'll be shocked. Many times the mistake we make is to just consecrate a 30-minute period or like a 1-hour period where we just go inside and we pray every day. It's good. It's good to have consecrated moments. And I want you having consecrated moments of prayer. But I want you to rise up where you now start doing it everywhere. Everywhere you find yourself is good for prayer. Receive that grace in Jesus' name. I, for one, I get inquisitive when somebody does not pray. I get inquisitive. I wonder, how do you do it? Right? How do you do it? Like, you're a Christian who does not pray. Or does not have a very consistent consecration to the place of prayer. I get interested. People of God, let me draw your attention that there is need for giving yourself to prayer. And as a family, as I've taught you, don't let it seem like, you know, it's just difficult spiritual thing. You know, some people have that notion that it's a difficult, it's like breathing, just the way you breathe is the way you pray. So don't make it look exaggerated. That to pray is difficult, to pray, it's difficult to pray. No. You can train yourself to have it as easy as it is to eat, to pray. So So in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, and in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians amongst the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look from amongst you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. You know, while we sleep, you know, the devil is actually working. Right? He works to get men unsaved. I mean, to keep men unsaved. Gets to throw in doubt into their hearts concerning life. Gets to keep men in captivities. So he's busy working. So don't sleep. Okay? So we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Continually. People of God, you cannot survive without praying and having a prayer life. Now, let me just take a detour from our emphasis, you know, contextually in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. But there was a time I feel like speaking in my heart today concerning, you know, activities that are not inspired by God, however, you know, inspired by the devil, as touching prayer. You see, where I grew up in the ministry, it is a very hard place to be. I mean, when you get to Accra, you can almost feel, you know, things are softer. You know, a lot here. When you go up north, you go into, you know, places that are, you know, entrenched with, you know, the God of Islam, right? And you have a lot of people also, unbelievers or traditionalists. It is said that even in Tamale, over, I think, 90, I'm not too sure of the second figure, but it's past 94 or 93 years. Past 94, let's say, you know, or 95, people who live in Tamale alone are Muslims. Is well dominated. I remember one time, a woman came to church many years ago. Those times, I used to flow with her, what do you call it, something. So I prayed for the woman, and I, you know, prayed for her feet. She was in slippers. And the next time she came to the church, she came very terrified, and she said that the sandals that I prayed on for her, she entered into the room, she locked the room, she put the sandals where her sandals is. The next morning, the sandals were not there. I said, I was just like, maybe, I can't remember.
Yes, she told me that the sandals I had blessed, I mean, I blessed her feet, blessed her, whatever. She came and she told me that the things were missing. They couldn't find the things. So, you know, you can't really survive, you know, the state of wickedness that is in the world today. Now you barely hear me talk about this, but I'm led by God's Spirit to tell you this honest truth. You know, you just can't decide not to have, you know, knowledge of God's word. You know, and to keep up a very consistent, healthy spiritual walk and be fine. It's impossible. It's impossible. The world is too wicked a place to be. It's impossible. It's too dark a place to be. No wonder in John's account that, and this is the condemnation of men, that light came into the world and they chose to avoid light, or they chose to stay away from light. They rather would choose to stay in gross darkness than to agree to the light. This is the condemnation of the world. That light came and men chose to stay in darkness instead of receiving the light that they had come to meet. So, often, we like to be very cautious. I mean, we like to be very full of, you know, faith. But I want you to also know and not be oblivious of the fact that there is a world that we stay in that is covered and entrenched with activities of darkness. And as we know this, because we're not knowing it because we want to be, just knowledgeable in it. No. We're knowing that there is an adversary. And with the ministry of the word, right? And giving ourselves continually to prayer, there are schemes, plottings, and plans that are avoided as we give ourselves continually to the place of prayer. There are situations that are hidden, that are silently destroyed as we give ourselves to prayer. I remember a time, this lady, she could not eat bread. Yes. And she had a devil, you know, just holding onto a part of her womb. And I remember that morning before I got into the service, I actually had a vision of the night, and I saw this woman in that vision, and I was carried to a theater room. And in that theater room, I literally saw, you know, her on a stretcher, and she was delivering. I saw the water burst in the dream. It was so real. I saw the water burst. I saw the child coming out. You know, and it was like I was standing there when everything was going on. So, I woke up from a dream and said, what kind of a dream is this? Very interesting. I've not been to a labor room before. But in the dream, it was almost as though I was standing there and I saw the water broke. I saw the child coming. And I saw everything that was happening in the dream. So, I got into the service not understanding the dream, not knowing who the dream referred to. I got into the service. I lifted up my head. I saw that this woman was the one standing there.
I said, you, before I came for the service, I didn't tell him. I said myself, before I entered the service, I had already seen something like this. So I called her and I asked her, do you want to give birth? She said, yes. I laid hands on her. Then you see the devil starts to show his ugly head. And I casted him out. And lo and behold, she conceived. You see, there are to live in that state of saying that, you know, we will not pray. You know, now we're not praying because we are actually aware or we are afraid of the devil. No, prayer puts us in that position where things can be revealed, where, you know, we can have the right mind and heart. We can be positioned at the right spots to be able to escape some of the schemes and plans and plots of the enemy. Now, everything that you see in God's word oftentimes will be activated and put into full function by faith and, you know, speaking out, which has to be prayer, obviously. So, the activities of darkness, activities of wickedness, activities of you know, the enemy working against what God has said for our lives. But if you don't pray, how would it happen? Because God certainly cannot do anything except men pray. The devil can do everything when men refuse to pray. Because our refusal to pray is our endorsement of his evil activities over our lives. So learn to speak in tongues. Learn to give yourself to prayer. You're not praying for, what do you call it? No. Pray so that the adversary, you know, his, you know, schisms. When you're in a home, pray for the home. Right? Pray. Pray so that, you know, things that have been orchestrated, now they're not going to work, but the fact that you just say they're not going to work, right, is going to be on the basis of your relationship with God. Let me tell you a story. I was in Central University, in level 200 or so. I'm telling you, activities of wickedness. So, I came and somebody called me. I don't want to mention the place. And then they invited me for a program. And I said I was going to go with a famous singer. At that time, there was a singer, I don't want to mention his name. He was rising up very quickly. So, I'll be there to say, oh, we've sent posters. I said, okay, fine. We have done this. Okay, fine. Oh, we have stacked it. I was just in level 200. When you come, please prophesy. I said, don't worry, I'm going to come. The evening to my departure 200 or 300. I had a vision. I was preparing to go. I had a vision. And in the vision, I realized that there were posters being stuck to the wall. And somebody had stood by these posters. Now, my picture was with somebody. Like, I was with there with a musical person. And the people had gathered themselves and said, "We are going to work all our arsenals against this minister. We're going to put everything together." Yes, in the vision, that's what they were saying. We're going to put everything together. Anything we'll do for him to be shot down, we are going to do it. So I woke up from the vision and I said, "Lord, what are you?" Well, I didn't pray, I can't tell. But I just asked the Lord, "Lord, I just saw this. Should I go?" And the Lord said, "You know what? I'd rather preserve you this time. And I want to preserve you. Don't go." Hey, I shouldn't go. How shouldn't I go? How shouldn't I go? Posters have been made, stuck to the wall. They are excited. I've told them I'm coming. I'm the only guest minister. A day to the program, I call them and I tell them that I'm not going to come. The Lord said, "Don't go." So I said, "Okay, I'm not going." So the day of the meeting came, I called a guy and I said, "You know what? I'm really sorry about this. Okay, let me not even add additional details because I don't remember what I said. So that I don't say something I didn't really say." But it turned out that I didn't go for the meeting. So I was sitting down, I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, imagine that I had gone. And maybe there was something. I'm not saying the Lord will not have delivered, but at certain times, the Lord preserves you for many things. He keeps you. He doesn't expose you, he keeps you. So, someone say, "If God loved this person, why did this thing happen?" I'm sure about this. God never takes his hands off his servants. He never does. I'm telling you. He never does. Anytime you see that something unexpected, no, he never does. He never does. He would always reveal via our prayer. He would always deliver via our prayer. He will always cause circumstances to come that will move in your favor. But if you don't pray, you will get right into traps that you should have escaped from. But from this evening, every activity against you, against your life, against your safety, against even your prosperity, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, in the name of Jesus, they will not come to pass in Jesus' name. Yes, they won't come to pass. They won't come to pass. They won't come to pass. Not because I'm saying it, but they will not come to pass in Jesus' name. You see, I hardly speak about these things, but today I have a leading to talk about it because it is a reality. Yes, it's a reality. Is a reality. So don't just be a Christian that does not understand that we have an adversary. The Bible is very clear, very explicitly clear on the fact that we have an adversary. We have somebody that works against Yes, there's an adversary. There's an adversary. And we are not ignorant of his devices. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus and he's giving them specific instructions on how they ought to resist, fight, and protect themselves from this enemy who happens to be against us. Tells them, put on the belt of truth. Tells them, you know, your head covered with a helmet of salvation. Your feet shodded with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Then the sword, with which you might be able to fight back his activities. Don't think that there is not a devil. I hardly talk about him, right? But we are also not oblivious. We are not in the dark. Like, oh, we are just not. There's nothing out. There's no devil. And the devil even likes us. Oh. If I tell you how he's not happy, that Christ family, we are teaching, preaching, reaching out, he's not happy at all. You'll be very juvenile to think that he's very happy. He's not happy at all. You're very young when you think that the devil is happy. Yes. He's not happy. He's not happy that souls are being won. He's not happy that people are being taught. He's not happy that life's happy. He's not happy at all. And he will remain so in Jesus' name. He's yet to see Pepe. Yes, more Pepe. More Pepe. So that's where we're not going to be. Prayerless. So we don't fall into temptations that he brings our paths. Our families are not in shambles. See, do not be a prayerless Christian, people of God. Don't be prayerless. Don't be prayerless. Don't be prayerless. I was walking on the streets of Seko. And then some guys came close to me, and they were in rings. One was in a ring, and he put the ring to his mouth. He said something, and he touched my forehead with the ring. Yes, he touched my forehead with the ring, like somebody, like he touched, laid hands on my forehead, and he quickly removed his hand. Yes, that's how they hypnotize you. They bring your phone, you bring it. Bring your whatever, you bring it. Bring your whatever, you bring it. Yes, that's how they hypnotize. And this anger rose in my spirit. I said, don't you know that I am the Lord's anointed? I got so angry. Yes, I got so angry. So no enchantment against you will work. It will not work. They will touch you, but it will not work. It won't work. It will not work. It won't work. No divination against you will prosper. It won't work. He will bring to nothing the enterprises of the wicked around you. It will not work. In the name of Jesus. When he touched me, he removed his hand. And then I got angry and I said, you are very... I don't know. I also wanted to lay hands on him. I didn't know what that was. But I think I got very furious. And then people started coming around and said, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I shouldn't. And I said, no, you want to hypnotize. You're crazy. You're sick. See, the world is full of wickedness. Wickedness.
I'm telling you, anyone that tells that the world is a nice place to be and we have to really, you know, enjoy it, they didn't tell you the whole truth. They didn't tell you the whole truth. They didn't tell you. So you ought to be vigilant. Not vigilant in a negative way, but how you prove vigilance is by keeping up and staying and praying. Because the devil, you can't stop him. You can't stop him from shooting a shot. He always will shoot a shot. But whenever he shoots a shot, you must be ready. You can't stop him from fooling. He likes to fool. He likes to fool. He will tempt. He will shoot. He will do whatever it is he wants to do. But you must be ready. You must be ready. And how you get ready is by keeping up a certain kind of lifestyle of prayer. 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 In the name of Jesus. Activities of wickedness, they will fail around you. 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 They still fail around you. But you cannot be cold and have activities of wickedness just to not. No, you can't be cold. Don't be cold. Don't be cold. I see somebody. Now, don't start praying because I'm saying this. I'm just telling you what is real and what is true. Yeah? But there is a greater truth. And you cannot have that truth without prayer. Yes. It almost seems like everything in God's word is tied to prayer. Even revelation. Revelation of God's word. Even when you say, I just want to read and understand, it's hinged on prayer. That's why Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened. He prays the same prayer for them in chapter 3. He prays the same prayer for them in Colossians. It will not be different. It's the same. Some of you will need to start creating a hedge of prayer around you. It's like your life has boundaries marked by prayer. Marked by prayer. Marked by prayer. Boundaries marked by prayer. Marked by prayer. Resisting the devil in faith. Keeping up a consistent life of prayer is very important. Very important for the times we are in now. So don't be somebody who just likes to say, oh, we just like to, you know, just have a nice time. You are a dead goat. You're a dead goat. All those who have a nice time, they are dead goats. The devil just slaps them, does anything with them. They don't serve God, they are not interested in God, they don't pray. They don't do what. So you're going to... I'm talking about prayer in relation to activities of wickedness. Activities of wickedness. So don't think you are playing with a nice devil. Yeah. If you thought he was a nice devil, I'm telling you, he's not nice at all. If he had then, you would be basa. If he had, but thank God he will not have it. Your life would have become something if he had it. Oh. You would have been something else. You would not even believe it. That is you. You not believe that it's you. If the devil had his way, he'd be shocked. You would have been looking for things to kill yourself. Drinking, smoking, partying, chilling here and there. If he had his way. If he had his way. That destroyed your life. This guy is not, he's not merciful. He's merciless when he gets you. So don't be oblivious of the devil. Know that there is an adversary. There is somebody who is against everything that we are doing. There's somebody who is against everything that you are doing. There's somebody who is against. I'm not saying that tell people that they are against. No, I'm saying there is an against. And don't be oblivious of him. Put him in his rightful place. How do you do that? By standing on the word of God. Right? You stand on the word of God. You proclaim the word of God. In the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. So pray. Pray that you don't get into temptation. I'm telling you, temptation is a function of not praying. Yeah. Temptation, is a function of not praying. Whenever you are not praying, is whenever temptation is knocking at your door. It's a function. Lead us not into temptation. It was in prayer, he was praying that they should not be led into temptation. So when you are not praying, you see that things will be coming to your mind. Certain things will be coming to your mind. You'll be thinking about certain things. You even shock yourself. You say, hey, me, is this me? Because you are not praying. Or because you stop praying. So don't forget there is an adversary. Somebody who is against. And you are not ignorant. You know that there is an against. You know him very well. Yes, the activities of wickedness. Let no man deceive you that there is nothing like that. It doesn't exist. It exists, but it's just that it will not work on you and it will have zero effects on your life. Yes, but they are activities of wickedness. Me, I see them. I see them. I see activities of wickedness. My eyes see them. Yes. But it has no effect on us. Because we'll stay praying in the Holy Ghost. We'll be too hot for activities of wickedness. Yes. Too on fire. Too on fire. When the devil sees you, he says, no, this one is too on fire. It's too on fire. It's too on fire. Too Holy Ghost on fire. So you're going to give yourself to prayer in Jesus' name. And when you see activities of wickedness, stand against them. Stand against them. That's why I'm not making you naive of the fact that they are not there. They are there. So when you see them, you stand against them. You don't fear. You don't quell in yourself. You don't say, you know, I'm really afraid. I don't even know what to do. No, it's time to stand against them. And say no. You know, for the guy who touched my head with a ring, he moved his hand quickly. You know that I could be, bring your phone. Or they'll just say, follow me here. Say, you are following, following, following. There are many people that have been had, you know, it's happened to them. Follow me. Follow. Give me your phone. Tonight, they'll even say, go and borrow money. 6,000 Ghana cedis and bring it. We are here in the next 3 hours. You go say, please, can I get 1,000 cedis? Oh, please, can I get 1,000 cedis? Oh, please, can I get 500? Oh, please, give me 200. I'll give it to you. Oh, please, 300. Now it's 3,000. Yes, hello, I've gotten the 3,000. Send it to me. I'm here. Oh, activities of wickedness. Why would you want to do that to someone? I see you withstanding these activities in Jesus' name. 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 Standing them in Jesus' name. Standing them in the name of Jesus. There was a time, I remember I'd interceded for the church for a long time in prayer, and I was so tired. So I just said, let me just sleep small. I just went into sleep. I literally saw somebody walk into the room, very ugly in its presentation. Can't tell if there was a beast of the earth or a beast of the heavenlies, but there was a beast that literally walked into my room. And I said, wow. It means our prayers are causing reactions in the realm of the spirit. They're causing things to shake. Reactions. 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 Oh, reactions. So I want to urge you in this fasting and in this prayer as we pray. Activities of wickedness will not prevail against you. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. And because activities will not prevail against you, wherever it looks like you never get to, oh, prepare yourself. You know, have more bands. You're getting there and you're surpassing there in the name of Jesus. Where it looks like nobody has really done this. Prepare, 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 prepare. God is going to do that with you. Become the first pastor in your family. In the name of Jesus. The first of so many generations. And do not become the first and last. Let others follow after you. Many others, let them follow after you. Become the first, what do you call it? Prophet in your home. Woman of God, become the first woman of God in your family. Become the first of its kind. The first apostle of your family. The first teacher. Become great. I see you overtaking and breaking past the limits. You're breaking past the limitations. Breaking past the limits. Breaking past the limits. Breaking past the limits. You will break past limits in the name of Jesus. And, you know, things to stop you from becoming effective, they are rolled off you, rolled away, and you are ready to move in Jesus' name. So activities of wickedness will not thrive. They will not thrive. They will not thrive. You see, there are so many marriages, and it looks like it doesn't work. And when I look at my mom, and I look at my dad, and I look at my auntie, I look at my this, my cousin. You know, they go, they are not married. Listen to me. Become the first that keeps a good home and that maintains it and that sees it blossom and that sees it do well in the name of Jesus. My God. My God. Say, nobody has prospered. Nobody has done this. Everybody seems to be struggling. Listen to me. Minus you in Jesus' name. Minus you. Minus you. Minus you. Minus you. Minus you. Activities of wickedness will not thrive in your life in Jesus' name. Become the first of every good thing. Of every good thing. Of every good thing. Oh, become the first doctor of your home. The first lawyer of your home. The first architect of your home. Now, this first I'm saying is not because we just want the title of first. No, that's not what we want. The first means something. The first actually means that there will be several others who follow after. That's what first means. It means you step in and you replicate others after your kind. In the name of Jesus. First doctor, first lawyer, first engineer, first architect, first banker, whatever. You say, nobody has ever done this. To hell with those nonsense. They will not stop you. Nothing will hinder you from doing well in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. 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 As you pray and as you give yourself to it in faith, activities will be nullified. They'll be nullified. And they are nullified. They're nullified. They're nullified. They're nullified. There'll be no limitations to what you can do. Because activities of wickedness and activities that do not really show the presence of God, they will not thrive in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Become the first of many kinds to live past the years that have been earmarked for people around you. You live past them. Oh, you live past them. Say, everyone is 50. It's like 52, 55, 56, 51. No. Live to be 70, 80, 85, 90, 95. Till you say, Lord, I think I'm done with whatever it is I'm doing. I'm going. In Jesus' name. Let that be your story. 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 At your workplaces, activities of wickedness will not thrive around you in the name of Jesus. They come to you in one way, they will flee in seven other ways. The Lord God will put them in great confusion in the name of Jesus. Who is he that plotted evil against the Lord and his anointed? The Lord will mock them. He'll put them in derision. He that seated in heaven shall laugh at their activities. He will bring down schemes and plans of the enemy via our proclamations and speakings of faith. Darkness will be plundered. Darkness will disappear in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be blessed. I'm actually blessing you. Be blessed. But I'm blessing you in a certain regard. Yes, be blessed. That things that reoccur, they cease to reoccur in Jesus' name. They cease to reoccur. From today, as these words are spoken over you, they will bear fruits. In Jesus' name.